Welcome to Uncle Bob's Magic Cabinet, a mother-daughter podcast about all things magic and mythology and pop culture. And we're on.
And we're on.
Hey, everyone. I'm Liam, the daughter.
I'm Lori, I'm the mom.
What's going on?
What's happening?
What's going on? We have something a little different for you this week.
So exciting.
We are really excited about it.
I feel like a kid that just woke up on Christmas morning.
Yeah, we've been like really giddy about this for the last few days, and we can't like wait to share this with you. Mm-hmm. So we had the opportunity to sit down with Creator VC's founder and CEO, Robin Block.
Lovely.
For was that your accent? Mm-hmm. Okay, I was going to say, one of us is definitely going to be doing a British accent, and it's going to be bad. But we got to talk with Robin for an interview about their newest documentary, The Thing Expanded. Mm-hmm. Over at Creator VC. So if you're unfamiliar with them, they are an independent producer of community-powered entertainment, and they're most known for their In Search of Darkness documentaries. You've heard us name drop that plenty of times.
You haven't seen it? Check it out.
Yeah, if you're a fan of spooky shit at all, I feel like that is just like a hidden treasure chest.
Absolutely.
Of just knowledge.
A way to add a lot of tools to your toolbox.
There you go. Yeah, we worked with them back in the fall because they're going to be doing a 90s, you know, updated In Search of Darkness, all about the 90s.
Your favorite.
And yes,
decade.
I'm like, I literally get the chills when I think about that because that's my time. That's my time to shine.
That is.
But speaking of your time to shine, going back a little farther, the 80s, I wasn't here yet. So they're doing a new documentary about The Thing.
Yeah.
And so their mission with this new expanded doc is to create an interactive experience that delves deep into the heart of The Thing specifically. So dissecting scenes, investigating fan theories, uncovering lore. They're really going deep.
And you know what?
What?
You can go really deep on this movie as we're finding out.
This is one where, we have watched The Thing now for like the past week. We've watched it now like five times. And we can just, we're picking up different things and each time we watch
and
it.
It's not like a mandatory watch. I'm like, I finish it and then I'm like,
I want to watch that again.
I still don't know. I got to go back and watch it.
I got to go back and watch it.
Watch it again.
So now if you're unfamiliar with The Thing, if you don't know what we're talking about, we're going to give you a little rundown so you're not totally confused. Mm-hmm. Okay, for a more in-depth rundown of the movie, Lord did talk about it.
I did.
Back when we were still living in Seattle.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
you did
way
like
back.
It was actually the first episode we recorded after I found out I was pregnant.
Uh-huh.
It was Monsters, Inc. and The Thing, episode 87. So that's like really, it's a special episode to me because I knew I was pregnant, but no one else did yet.
No.
And so this one just like, I don't know. It's really like
it
in a good place
heart.
In my heart. Yeah.
Aww.
And we were talking about this movie, which you really loved.
This is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you need like a more in-depth rundown of the movie and its impact, go listen to that and then come back.
Right. Are you back? All right. So let me just give you a little rundown.
Okay.
The Thing is a 1982 science fiction horror film. Directed by the one, the only, John Carpenter.
That was a really great introduction.
Isn't it? Who is also my favorite director.
Yeah, he is, huh?
He is, yep. The story follows a group of American researchers in the Antarctica.
In the
Antarctica.
There's only one.
Is there any other?
There is the.
Who came across an extraterrestrial life form known as The Thing.
Yes.
Which assimilates and imitates other organisms.
Yeah, just terrifying.
Terrifying. So shit breaks loose once the group realizes they cannot trust one another because any one of them could be The Thing and they just wouldn't know.
Ooh,
it is considered to be one of the greatest films of all time and one, if not the best of John Carpenter's films. It is a touchstone movie in the horror genre. And if you love spooky things, this is a must watch movie. It's the law.
It's the law.
It's the law.
We don't make the rules. If you like horror, you have to go watch this movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every time I watch it, it just keeps getting better, honestly. So now with all of that said, one of the reasons that we love Creator VC is because they're all about community involvement,
and
right?
That is so important.
It really is. They want to know what horror fandoms have to say. Okay. Yeah. So they want you as the fan to be a part of the thing's history, which is so fucking awesome. If you really think about that, because this history is so, I don't know, meaty.
Ew, oh, there's meaty.
There's a lot of meat to this history, and we get to add to it.
There is. Yeah. And you get to shine. This is your time to shine.
Yes.
They want to hear your voice.
Yeah. We know we have a lot of passionate listeners that like to, you know, tell us your thoughts and your feelings.
Yes.
And that's what they're asking you to do for this documentary. So you can join in by signing up for their fan survey, which we will link in our show notes and on our socials and all of that. And you can share your insights, your fan theories about the thing, which is like becoming my favorite part of this, because I didn't realize there were so many. Oh my gosh. We filled out the survey.
Yeah.
Of course. The second they put the link up, I was like, and I have thoughts about this.
One.
Let me sign up. And honestly, it was really nice to like take a minute and think about what this movie means to me.
Yeah.
Because it's a big one, and it's a big one because of you. And we'll talk about that with Robin. But another exciting thing, you can also get involved by joining Creator VC's The Thing Watch Party over on YouTube this Sunday, March 10th.
Yes.
And guess what? We're going to be there.
We are special guests.
Do you want to hang out with us while we watch the thing?
Please do. Bring the milk duds.
Bring the milk duds. I want you to be dressed as one of the characters.
Oh my gosh.
I want to see that, you know.
MacReady.
I want to see that hat that he's wearing with the glasses.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Take a picture and let us know that you're joining in.
Yes.
So you could come hang out with us while we watch the movie with Robin and some others. Let us know how you feel about it.
Please do.
Hear our commentary on the film.
Hear our commentary. And you know what? People want to get to know us all the time. If you really want to get to know us, you got to go watch this movie because it is like a staple in our house.
It really is. We talk about it a lot. We watch it multiple times a year. Yeah, the whole family loves this one.
We quote it.
We really do quote it. So we hope to see you at the Thing Watch Party on Sunday.
Yes.
Make sure to go find that link, and we hope you fill out the survey. Get involved. This is so cool.
It is so important. And without further ado,
here's Robin Block.
Yeah, well, I'm Robin Block. I'm the founder and CEO of Creator VC. And we're a fairly unique entertainment company that specializes in crowdfunded, community-powered entertainment. Our tagline kind of sums it up, which is fandom with purpose.
Love
so
that.
Our kind of role is to mobilize a fan base into creating something that they can all enjoy.
Right.
And we're probably most well known for our In Search of Darkness 1980s horror trilogy, but we've done, I think, 7 or 8 projects in the last 6 years. And we are in the very early stages of developing The Thing Expanded, which has led me here.
That's awesome.
Very cool. Yeah, we were huge fans of the In Search of Darkness.
Oh my
the
gosh,
80s.
Loved
we're
it.
Very much looking
loved
forward
it.
To the 90s version.
Can't wait for the 90s.
I'm a huge 90s fan.
Yeah.
But when we saw you were doing The Thing, we could not be more excited because this is one of her all-time favorite movies.
This is one of my favorite movies. Yeah, for sure. I am a huge John Carpenter fan, so I love his stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I first watched The Thing with my mum, actually.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
When I was far too young. Which is probably the best time.
Corrupted you early.
Yeah, corrupted me early. The interesting thing is that because we do this type of work all the time with various genres, gaming, sci-fi, you kind of get a feel for a fan base and their veracity in terms of like showing up. And I'm getting really sort of very strong deja vu. When I started In Search of Darkness, I remember we had no followers and I started just posting the 80s horror. And, you know, within a couple of months, I knew that this was going to be a hit. Like people were emailing me, everyone wanted to get involved.
You could feel it.
A life of its own.
Right.
And I'm getting very similar vibes with the thing expanded. I have some amazing people contact me being ever so helpful. And it's like I've put up the bat signal and gone, we're thinking of doing this project. If you kind of want to be on board, like join us. And it's led to so many amazing conversations. But it's interesting. So here I am on a show with two wonderful ladies. Right?
Oh, thank you.
But the demographic of the people that are signing up to the survey skews so heavily male. Like, I think it's like 86% men.
Wow.
Oh, that's kind of surprising.
That's interesting. Which
is, and normally when we do these surveys, they're in horror, there tends to be a bias towards men, but we want to hear from people who are not men as well. So this is the first podcast I've done with
really?
I've got about 25 of these. I'm doing a little tour.
Oh, I like it. Wow, that's awesome.
So represent. There we go.
We're happy to do it.
Yeah, we're happy to do it. And I think us, you know, as being women, loving horror, but also the generational gap between us, you know, her horror and my horror. So we were talking, you know, about The Thing. And then she was like, her generation is like the faculty.
Yeah, because I thought that was
so
interesting.
Because it's so inspired by The Thing. And so we try to, you know, our demographic is mostly female.
Right.
So we're trying to educate. We get, you know, messages all the time from women saying, oh, I don't really watch horror, but now that I listen to you, I'm interested in dipping my toe in the water.
We're kind of bringing them over to the dark side slowly. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. I mean, it's interesting that the faculty is your generation's the thing.
Yeah.
My father, his generation's The Thing is the Howard Hawks version. And he doesn't particularly like the John Carpenter version. But for me, that's the definitive version. And it's funny, I went to the cinema about a month ago in London, and it was like a really lovely cinema, the British Film Institute, huge screen, packed audience. This is a Saturday night in 2024.
Yeah.
And there were people there in the cinema who had never seen The Thing before.
Oh, right. Wow.
So I go in and thinking, well, I'm going to watch the film again, like with a critical eye, because I want to do a project on it. And I couldn't keep a critical eye. As soon as the first frame of the movie, I was like, oh, I'm in the movie now.
Right.
It was so interesting listening to the reactions from people in the audience who had never seen it before.
Yeah.
Reacting. And I was like, wow, this film still has so much power.
It does. You know,
and still hits and hasn't dated in the same way a 40 something year old movie. And when we did In Search of Darkness 2, we were fortunate enough to do an amazing interview with Tom Savini. And he said this quote, which
he's
is
right here. I'm up there.
Yeah, well, hey, Tom.
Here he is.
He's in London. He's in London this weekend.
Oh my gosh. Tell him we said hi. We love him. No.
Well, I'll pass it on. You know, I used to ring him up. Somebody did that dangerous thing of giving me his number. And I used to ring him up.
Oh my gosh.
And I used to talk to him about like his documentary and what we were doing. Kind of pestered him enough to get him to go to the studio in Pittsburgh. But he said this quote, and it's turned into a meme, which I've seen all over the internet now.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, an old movie isn't old if you've never seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And that really applies to The Thing, because what I found with the movie is that I loved it. You know, when I first saw it, I was very young. I was a child, and it was visceral. And I have this memory of where I was, and some, you know, the chest bursting scene, that was in my head.
Yes.
But I revisited it when I was a young teenager, which is kind of, if you're a kind of, you know, geeky boy who's about 12 or 13, The Thing is the best movie you could possibly watch, right?
Absolutely.
But I'm 46 now and I still watch it. And it's like every time I see it, I see something new. I relate to it in a different way.
In a different way,
And great cinema has that quality where you have a relationship with it and you revisit it and you've changed and it's changed.
Right.
And I think that great art has that capability. And I think The Thing has that capability. So what I'm trying to build with The Thing Expanded is something where we can really explore this movie, break it down, deconstruct it, revisit scenes, moments, try and find out some new things, try and bring together the surviving cast and crew.
But also
bring this together from the fans' perspective. You know, so right now, one of the things that I'm doing actively is just listening to people's relationship with this movie. Like, why? And my question to you, why do you love The Thing? Like, why is it? And what's the difference between each of yours' relationship with it?
Yeah.
Yeah. This film deserves it. I'm happy that you're doing it with this film, because it's interesting. We were talking when we watched it in preparation.
Yeah.
And when he says the line, nobody trusts anybody now, and we're all very tired, I was like, wow, that's still so relevant.
Yeah.
Even today.
Yeah, it is today. And I think a lot of, you know, why I like John Carpenter is he does take a political bent. And you don't have to view the movie that way, but there are undertones of politics in his, you know, stories or directing. And, you know, it does kind of carry through. It's still applicable today.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what we were talking about was, it's so interesting because from the jump, you have the great Ennio Morricone's score, which is just haunting in and of itself. You know that you are going to start anticipating, you know, and you're starting to get anxious. But just the landscape, there's already, you know, a group of men stuck out in the middle of nowhere. And there's so many things that could go wrong just there. You know what I mean? It's like you could freeze to death. You could run out of rations. You
I've got a question for you on that point, right? With the original The Thing, that had a mixed cast, there was female characters. Obviously, The Thing is completely stark and male.
Yeah.
From a female perspective, what's that like? Because there aren't female characters you can relate to. Not that you can't relate to men.
Right.
I feel like it was interesting to see how they slowly started turning on each other. I don't know if you had female characters in there, if it would have been the same pace. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I feel like it would have been a little more slowly drawn out.
You know what I mean? I think like coming into it, I saw it in the theater when it first came out. So I think, you know, Alien did that well, bringing in the female character. But with this, I'm thinking, you know, I'm looking at that landscape and I'm thinking, as a female, I wouldn't want to be there. You know what I mean? I would not want to be there, and I wouldn't want to endure those cold temperatures and just the rough living that they were, you know.
Yeah, there's a roughness to it.
Yeah.
And then having it be all men, it just kind of added to that like grit right off the bat.
Yeah. And I think they did it so well because there were so many different personalities that it encompassed a lot. It just wasn't like a group of, you know, rough and gruff men. There were so many layers to their personalities where you were seeing, you know, people that, you know, like Clark, who was like all about the dogs and his loyalty to the dogs. And then Norris, who was kind of like a tender heart, and Fuchs. And it's like, oh, you have these like tender moments with these male characters.
That is
true. It was so layered.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good point. There was a lot of tenderness there.
So
that
yeah.
You don't
so I
see.
Think, yeah. Upon seeing it at first, I was like, yeah, this is the cast that it should be. And yes, of course it would be men. I think at that time period.
Fascinating that you say that. And you know, I completely concur. I feel like it's incredibly nuanced. Mm-hmm. There's a reality to the situation. Like, I never at any point in watching this film do I feel like I'm being performed to.
No, not at all.
It's like I'm there as an observer and the film is taking me through. And I do think it's genius casting and direction. Very few films have that sense of reality. Like, I haven't experienced it in ages, where I've gone into the theater and seen a film and immediately kind of locked into the film. When I was watching The Thing again recently, I gave up trying to look at it critically. So I was like, I'm actually enjoying the movie and I know what's coming.
Yeah.
You know,
we kind of did
matter.
The same.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, the instant, the first time I see the dog, I'm like hooked and I want to know, and I'm like emotional about it.
Sure.
I'm emotionally invested.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that I've watched a lot of movies recently where from the jump, this movie like gets you hooked and it's action, you know, from the moment the movie starts. And then I've watched a lot of movies, like newer movies, where they do the same thing, but I'm not invested in the characters because they have not developed them because the action has happened so quickly. And I think they so successfully did this that even though the action happened very quickly, I was hooked on these characters. I was, you know, pulling for them. I knew all their names. I knew what they did. And I, you know, I related to them. And so I love that they pulled you in and you felt for these characters, even though they moved so quickly, like mm-hmm. the action moves so quickly.
Yeah. With this rewatch, I don't think I had remembered that it starts so abruptly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, from the first scene, you're like, oh, okay. Like you can feel that something's wrong.
Yeah.
But like you said, they had already somehow formed that bond. I think because they were so isolated, like you can kind of imagine that you would have had to have formed some type of bond yeah. when you're just in the middle of nowhere. And because they do that aerial shot, there's nothing else around. So mm-hmm. you know that they only have each other.
Yeah,
exactly. In this environment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then how Windows continuously is like, we're not getting anybody. There's nobody out there. We've got each other and that's it. And I don't know about anybody else, but when Bennings turns, I feel so bad. Like, I feel so bad. And you only see that character for a few moments. Mm-hmm. And he is like very quickly taken out. But it's like, you feel so bad when they, you know, light that fuse and the way the light hits him. And
he's like, he was my friend. I was like, oh my God.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they really did a good job in making you connect with these characters.
They're timeless, really.
Yeah.
I've got a theory that there's this phrase, which is the same man doesn't step in the same river twice. Mm-hmm. Right? And I feel that's very true with movies.
Yeah.
You've changed in between all the times you've watched it, and the movie's yeah. changed as well.
Right.
So you relate to it differently. And, you know, great art will have that, that kind of immortality. It'll be interesting because I really believe that the thing will be relevant in another generation and another generation. One of those yeah. films, I just think it, the mood, I don't think you could, even with a super talented creative team, I don't think you can recapture that mood. There's something in the grain mm-hmm. that, you know, and there's all these, so, you know, we can talk about the movie and scenes, but then you start to look at the fandom.
Yeah.
Right. And all the rabbit holes that people have gone down with mm-hmm. like fan theories and who did this.
Yeah.
Or what,
picking it apart. Who, yeah. End.
And from my perspective, looking at this as a subject that we want to explore, it's like, well, you know, you have to be very focused on what you want to sort of look at.
Right.
But there's so much to explore. And also I feel there's this sadness around the thing, which is that it kind of derailed John Carpenter's career.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Which is insane, right?
Yeah.
And like, it's sort of, there's a sadness when he talks about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it took 15 years for it to find its audience.
Yeah.
And now I would never say this or that is the best horror movie, even right. to myself, because but it's on the Mount Rushmore of greatest horror movies
ever. I agree with that,
For sure. But there's this sort of, you know, it's like the underdog movie. And it's interesting, like every conversation I've had with anyone about this movie over the last couple of months has been amazing.
Yeah.
And it's like the demand to talk about it is incredible.
Yeah.
And the intimacy in which you know the film mm-hmm. is unusual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like you could stop any horror fan and this is not a divisive one. Like,
no.
I feel like everyone I've talked to, they're like, oh, let's talk about the thing.
Yeah.
You know what
absolutely.
I mean? Like right off the jump. We did want to ask you, why do you think it took so long to catch on, this movie? Because it kind of, like you said, started, for those who don't know, it wasn't received well.
No, it wasn't. I mean, the timing, in my own job, when we do releases, like you have to get lucky with timing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And you never know which project's going to land, or, you know, I never knew In Search of Darkness would have become like a thing.
Right.
So there's a bit of luck involved, but the timing was terrible because it's a very nihilistic film mm-hmm. at a time when, you know, it was the beginning of the 80s, Reaganomics, people were looking to be uplifted.
Yeah.
And you were sandwiched between like Blade Runner and E.T.
Right.
Yes.
And then you get your shot and then people didn't like it.
Yeah,
the reviews weren't great, right? And then it does its business, but it doesn't hit its numbers, and Carpenter gets the blame. But then it starts. This is the VHS era. This is mm-hmm. the cable era. Eventually, it finds its audience. And then I think what really changed was the internet. So suddenly we had a platform where film fans could connect and discuss and unpack. And suddenly the thing floated up and up as being this medium. Like, I've been to gigs to see bands where I've seen someone in the audience wearing a Thing t-shirt. And I'm like, oh, already know we're going to be cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, right.
It's like a sign, right?
There's much to talk about.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's the story. So approaching a documentary like this, so we've got our In Search of Darkness, which I want to run forever. We're moving into the 90s. So I set up, that's going really well. I've got a new format, which is called Expanded. And the first film that we've developed using this new documentary format is Aliens. And it's Aliens Expanded. And, and that comes out kind of May for backers this year. Awesome. So that's in the final stages of the post-production. 4 hours of, like, we've gone through the movie, you know, and we've got half the cast involved, and we've sort
I love that.
You know, and it's all from the fans' perspective, and we've surveyed the backers and all of that. I'm really excited about its release.
Yeah.
And I want to do something very similar with The Thing Expanded, but The Thing's different. So with The Thing, there's so many rabbit holes you can go down, and there's so much discussion points. And one of the things that we've been doing on our own social media, which is for this project, it's at Thing Expanded, is we're just posting up different theories, posting up different things, and just seeing what everyone responds to.
Okay.
Sometimes you'll put a post up and it'll just catch fire. And people will literally fall out with each other.
Oh, really?
I think, no, you don't know what you're talking about. This happens then. And, you know, and one guy was like, guys, I know the complete answer, and I know it's a fact, and this is what happened. This is a fact. Right? It causes debate endlessly.
Yeah, which matches the vibe.
Yeah, and the kind of thing I'm attracted to is where, like, oh, we got something a bit, you know, there's meat here, there's depth, there's density. There's a lot to impact. You know, I don't want to make, I mean, it's hard to not cover those beats, but I'm not looking at this like a making of. Right? You know, I really want to, you know, this is for an audience that has seen the film 50 times.
Right.
Yes.
Right. That we assume has seen all the making of. Right? Yes. So this is about revisiting this film from where we are in time right now. And, like, understanding why things work, understanding why it's great. And I feel that our job is to take something you love and kind of create even more value from it.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And that, you know, I think this is a real, and I'm up for it and I'm excited by it. But I think that this is a real challenge to tackle this movie because it's so compact.
Yeah.
It doesn't waste, and there's nothing wasted.
You know,
when we were looking at Aliens, you're just spoilt for choice on every frame. There's just like 25 things going on. And The Thing has this, you know, it's almost the opposite. It has this sparsity to it, right? And I want to sort of understand filmically why have other people tried to take beats from this and not quite delivered. It's interesting, you know, you mentioned the faculty earlier. If you think about great art influences, it creates a waterfall effect of other things that start to take on its beats, and you've got Stranger Things, you've got The Faculty. Most recently, I wonder if you've seen this, is the new season of True Detective.
I haven't. We were just talking about this, though. Yeah, because we did a Twin Peaks episode and it had inspired True Detective. And I was like, we maybe need to dive into that.
Yeah.
The season that's just gone is two female leads. One was like a former boxer.
Who's
phenomenal in it. Yeah. And the other's Jodie Foster.
Well, there you go.
And they're they're really unlikable. They're really they're not.
Jodie Foster, unlikable.
Yeah, they're unlikable characters, but I mean, it's caused a lot of controversy online. And I think that's to do with the fact they've got two female leads and all that. But actually, just as something to watch, I was like, God, this is really good. And I was hooked.
Yeah.
And the references in The Thing are just like, they're probably a bit too much.
Really?
You think?
Yeah, they actually repeat bits of dialogue. I like homage when it's subtle, right?
Yeah.
But when it's completely like, we're gonna break the fourth wall and say something that we know that you know.
Right, that we're
that
nodding to it.
It's more than a nod.
Yeah.
I like a deep dive where it's kind of like, okay.
It's like a wink and a nudge. Yeah.
And like The Faculty, it's not like, hey, this is, we're ripping off the thing. Like, you can see the connection.
Well, yeah, we were talking about how they kind of took the idea of testing the blood into like snorting the drug. And I was like, oh, that's so good because it takes it out of, it puts it in the 90s.
Yeah.
But you still get what's going on if you know the thing. It's funny you say that though, because I'm a huge X-Files fan and they have one episode that is just, I mean, it's the thing.
What's the name of the episode? I can't remember. Is it
Ice? Oh my gosh, I can't remember, but it is quite literally, it is just the thing. Like, and it's almost too much, like you said, and even for the X-Files, I'm like, oh guys, this is just a little too close.
I get, I mean, like, you know, great artists still, don't they? Right, that's what they say.
Yeah.
The worst thing that I watched over the last couple of years, which I didn't like because it was too blatant, was that Zack Snyder, it was the Army of Darkness or like and it was just ripping off Aliens too much to the point where I couldn't...
You couldn't separate it.
I couldn't separate it. I was like, this is, but it's not as good.
Right.
So I was like, this is, you know, and I get why they do that.
Right.
But when it doesn't work, it gets clunky.
It's a very fine line.
It's a very fine line. Yeah.
Yeah. But speaking of, so we have an audience, our listeners are very interactive. Mm-hmm. And so part of what we love about Creator VC is that they get to get involved, which our listeners just like, they just want to be involved any chance they get.
Yeah.
So how can they be involved in this documentary?
Mm-hmm. So right now, so I've never done it this way. And the team, we've got like two or three other projects happening concurrently at the moment. So this is just me flying the flag, trying to sort of get traction with this project. And we don't even have a landing page. If you go to the link in our bio at Thing Expanded, you'll just go to a Google form.
Okay. Yes.
Very simple Google form, but it's very powerful. We've had hundreds and hundreds of people, Thing fans, fill it out. And the two main questions are, what do you want to see in this project? Yeah, you know who we are. What do you want to see?
Yeah.
And also, why is this film important to you? And we've actually taken some of the more interesting responses and anonymized them, but put them out on social media.
Mine was one of them. I was very excited. No. I was like, oh my God.
I didn't do that deliberately. That was like, I'm just scrolling down because I read them all.
I'm Lee M. Yeah.
Right. So there we go. But the reason I'm doing it so early is that in order to do our job properly, we have to be very vulnerable as creators.
Yeah.
Right. Because we're not coming up with an idea and delivering it for you. Right. That's not how we work. Our audience and the ones we really care about are our backers.
Yeah, right.
So the ones that actually become part of the project and have their names in the credits. They have to kind of trust us to take their money, which is like, you know, expensive for a documentary.
Sure.
Right. But trust that we're going to create something that they're going to cherish at the end of it. So that's a significant responsibility. So as we've evolved as a company, we started to get smarter at understanding, trying to understand what this audience wants. So now with any of our projects, we do kind of multiple surveys. And with this, the Thing Expanded, we're doing it from the off. So we're going to come back to you in a couple of months with a synopsis and a landing page. And we're going to say, please read this synopsis. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. We actually put it in a Google document and allow comments on. Which is crazy. We did it with Aliens Expanded and people started arguing with each other in the
Google. Oh my gosh.
But,
always.
But that's a good sign because
energy.
And we actually made changes to our roadmap based on the feedback because ultimately, I mean, anything with entertainment is subjective and you can't please all the people all the time.
Sure.
But our operation is about delivering a kind of premium experience to a niche audience.
Right.
What I'm finding is that typically, we will have between like 10 and 15,000 backers per project that we do, right?
Right.
Which is great because that's a small enough number for us to be like, oh, this is, we can give them what they want.
Right.
We understand what they want.
Right.
With the Thing Expanded, I think that our first pre-sale campaign could probably do around 5,000 backers.
Wow.
So what that means is from where we are now, in time is that we're starting to see a correlation in the kind of responses.
Okay.
And then we want to, you know, combine it with our own ideas and a new format that we have and come back to you and go, does this excite you? Because the people that are going to become part of this project with us are going to be the ones that love this movie.
Right.
And want to get more out of this movie. And I feel that at our best, and this is what, you know, the whole team are behind this. What we're trying to create is a bridge. We're trying to create a manifestation of your fandom that you can hold. You know, when I pick up something like this, which is the In Search of Darkness trilogy, this is this has a runtime of 15 hours.
Wow.
And we've watched every minute.
Yeah. Yeah, it has 125 contributors, some of which are no longer around, right?
Yeah.
And it has, I don't know, 40, 50,000 backer names in the credits.
Wow.
Right. And the reason that the merchandise for this, the Blu-rays, are so expensive on eBay is because no one gives them up, because the relationship that an audience has with our work when they're a backer, it's a lot more intimate.
Right.
And we found that with Aliens Expanded, and I'm seeing it right now. Mm-hmm. So that's a long way round to say that we are listening really intently to what you think we're trying to create, what you would like to see.
Yeah.
And most importantly, why is this important to you?
Right.
And we're seeing this correlation, like it's a generational film. Mm-hmm. And it's been so cool to meet you both, because you're split generation.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, doesn't compute, you know, like it's something special.
It's funny because the reason I watched it, I don't think I watched this, the thing, until I was maybe like, I don't know, 15, but it's because you were so passionate about it that I was like, all right, well, if my mom is like that into it, I'm going to have to check it out. And then I was like, oh my God, like, and then it's just going to, now I have a daughter. And you bet your ass the second she can watch it, I'm going to be like, sit.
I've got two young daughters, right? Yeah. And my oldest is 7, and she won't be my horror movie buddy. I can tell that now. I was like, oh, but there's another, right? So my 3-year-old, 100%,
going to
be my horror movie buddy.
Uh-huh,
right?
So cool.
But you have the coolest mom. Props, mom.
Right?
Thank you.
Way to go.
But yeah, I've really enjoyed chatting about this.
Yeah.
It's been so, and really, like, listening to how you relate to this film as women is not even something that I've asked. It didn't occur to me until we started talking.
Yeah,
like, And it's so, you know, I would love and encourage your audience that I'm hoping is skews a bit more non-men, right?
Yes, it is.
To fill out the survey, because at the moment it's a lot of dudes. You know, so
absolutely.
It's interesting. My question to you is, what would the thing be like if we turned the tables and it was an all female cast?
Oh my gosh.
How would that end up?
I feel like it would have been a slower drip. Like it would have taken longer for them to be like, it's you. No, it's you. You know what I mean? Like it would have been more drawn out.
Yeah. I think because men have that linear pattern of thinking, and it's talk about a nihilistic movie. It's kind of, they can see the
forest through the trees.
You know, these are our options and there aren't many. And, you know, so I just, And I think it would be difficult.
I do feel like it would have been difficult to match that tone, but now I kind of want to go and make that movie.
Yeah.
I think I would want to watch that movie.
Right. I kind of want to watch that movie too.
I'm already in my mind. I'm like, who could we get to cast?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, like who would be in that movie?
I want Jodie Foster.
I mean, quite literally, could anybody else have played that role?
No.
Than Kurt Russell.
The hair.
It's interesting because we're in the final edit and post-production stages for Aliens Expanded. And obviously, Ripley's Sigourney Weaver is, I suppose, the MacReady of Aliens.
Such a powerhouse,
And it's a uniquely feminine character. I know it was originally written as a male character, but there's a female energy from that performance in Aliens, and it's matched by the duality with the mother of New and the queen alien as well. Like it's a female centric movie, and I would love to sort of almost transport that and put it in the thing.
I know now you have me like really thinking. I did read that like the only female character in the thing was like the voice of the computer.
Yeah.
Adrienne Barbeau.
I was like, wow, that's
right.
So
from The Fog. Well, she was married to John Carpenter, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we should make it.
Ooh.
Now my mind is
Yeah.
I kind of want to ask our audience.
Yeah.
Like, who would star in that role? How they think that it would be different.
Yeah.
That's given me an idea for a post we want to put up on our socials. Like, if this was all female. And do you know what, right? It's something that we're going to, this is a question we will have to answer and look at in our documentary. We have to, because it's quite unusual. I can't think of another film comes to mind where it's an all-male cast.
Right.
No, I mean that, like, secluded too.
Yeah.
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 It's interesting though. We were talking about the pacing of the movie, and I said it's so perfect because I feel like if it was any slower, it wouldn't have hit.
It wouldn't have hit.
It was too fast, it wouldn't have hit. And I do think that the biggest difference you'd see with an all-female cast would be the pacing of how they go about figuring out what's going on.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not a huge Aliens fan. I'm sorry, but I feel like there was this point for Ripley, even though she was a badass powerhouse, where there was some, you know, tenderness. Didn't she like try to save the cat or something?
And the relationship with her, there's a duality around the idea of being a matriarch. So she, in the extended cut, she loses her daughter because she's been in hyperspace for 50 years. And then her new daughter is Newt.
Yeah.
Who's discovered, right? And then you've got the standoff with the queen, who has her own children.
Yeah.
And it's a uniquely, I mean, even there's a fade in Aliens where it's a fade from Ripley's head, who's kind of asleep, into the planet that they're going into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, I feel that that's a very deliberate kind of play on Gaia and like,
there's,
you can go really next level with Aliens in terms of thematics.
Right. Yes. I think it would be interesting to try to bring that female element over to, you know, a remake of The Thing with a female cast, because if you look at Kurt Russell's character, he did not give, like, he shot Clark right in the head. He torched the dogs.
He seemed to feel bad about it for like a split second.
He did not care. He was taking it out.
We are all frightened, like, you know, and everyone's going to turn on me. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But they did that, didn't they? They did that with Ghostbusters, didn't they? They flipped it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That didn't go so well.
It did not land so well for me.
And actually, when you said to me about an all-female cast, that's the first thing that came to my mind. And I thought it didn't sell. Like, it didn't fly for audiences, which is interesting.
That is interesting.
Well, I think if you're going to bring a female audience, I think what they did was they tried to match the personality of the female to the characters in
the original,
the male version, you know what I mean? The Harold Ramis, the Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray. And so it was kind of like a female acting as if they were that personality. So I think you would need to bring it in and have to make it your own and make it this whole new,
completely new different. Yeah.
Because they would not behave the same as the male cast of Ghostbusters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah. Interesting. Ooh,
I know. So fascinating.
The wheels are turning.
I'm going to go write the screenplay after this.
Very cool. Are you planning on then getting as many of the people, you know, on board? How's that?
Yeah. I mean, we've already done interviews with, this is for In Search of Darkness. So we already did interviews with John Carpenter and Keith David. Now our, The Thing segment was only about 3 minutes long.
Right.
Yeah.
It's actually pinned on our Thing expanded Instagram. So you can just watch it there.
Yeah.
And in fact, half the cast, I'm in England, half the cast are going to be uniting in October this year at a convention, which I'm going to. But my white whale on this project is Rob Bottin.
We didn't even talk about the effects.
But the thing is, this could be like a 4-hour podcast.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah.
Because there's so much going to, but actually someone gave me his number. And I'm not going to call him yet, but I will make him an offer.
He can't refuse.
That he can't refuse, right?
Yes.
Right? And also, you've got to respect people's privacy. There's it's not by accident. He's, you know, doesn't do press and that kind of stuff. I just think that the angle we have, you know, we're not some major studio. This all happens because of the mobilization of the fan base.
Right.
And I feel like Rob is someone that should get his flowers, you know, that he is, he himself is on the Mount Rushmore of horror.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly, right.
So, you know, certainly we'll try. But there's two people that I really want for this project, Rob Bottin and Quentin Tarantino.
Tarantino. Why Tarantino?
Because The Thing is one of his favorite movies. The Thing inspired
Reservoir Dogs.
Hateful Eight. Mm-hmm. I've actually got to rewatch Hateful Eight this week in preparation for another podcast. But they've said you've got to watch this movie because we're going to ask you questions about it. I was like, oh, I haven't seen it in years. But Quentin Tarantino recently did a big talk show talking about The Thing and moments. And, you know, I want not only The Thing expanded to be something that really is detailed about the movie. So we're talking about another 4-hour runtime going through it. We're just going to get so much. But I also want it to be a victory lap. So all the kind of big figures in entertainment that have been really inspired by this film.
Yeah.
I feel like it's an opportunity for them to, that have delivered in their own right.
Right.
I want to understand the influence. And that really interests me. So I always work off emotion. I think with the In Search of Darkness, why that was successful is it became a comfort blanket to a lot of people. Yeah. I get emails. I mean, people have had tattoos of the little figure.
Cool.
People have it just running in the background.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People that are tired or stressed out and they can't commit to a horror movie mentally.
Yeah.
Will throw in In Search of Darkness because it gives you that hit, that nostalgia.
Yeah. Yeah.
That going back in time, that, you know, for me, In Search of Darkness was trying to recapture that feeling of being a young teenager, hanging out with my friends with a VHS.
Yeah.
Watching stuff. I wanted to get that energy back. And when David Weiner, who writes and directs them, when he sends me a rough cut, I find it really hard to like be critical because I'm just like, I'm like all warm and
you're really feeling it.
Glowing and that kind of thing. But I want there to be an element of that, but I also want it to be a bit more intelligent.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of intelligent themes. There's the AIDS allegory, there's a socio-political context, there's a gender context that we just run through.
Yeah.
Right? So there's tons of meaty stuff to get into. And I'm like, oh, this is the one. Right. So our timeline at the moment, this could change, but we're looking at doing a pre-sale in July and then delivering for the end of, I would say Q4 2025, because that's how long it takes us to make one of these. But I want this to be something where like you watch it and then the first thing you have to do is rewatch The Thing. And when you rewatch The Thing, you'll understand it in a whole new way.
Yes,
and that is where the value is, and it comes down to getting more out of something you already love.
And
it's
love
built
that.
On the passion of the fandom.
That's
just very special.
Yeah
We applaud you.
Well, I applaud you. This has been so much fun.
I have one final question. As a fan yourself of The Thing, what is your fan theory of the end of the film?
I love it. So, hey, we have our little husky here.
I came prepared with props. Here we go. I need to upgrade to the 4K.
Heck yeah.
Okay, so my theory, it's a bit spoiled, right? So at the moment, I am torn between two kind of realities, because one of the things we're looking at is the computer game, The Thing, right? And the version I've got came out on the Xbox in 2002.
Okay.
And in that game, Charles is discovered dead, right? But then if you get to the end of the game, sorry, spoilers, but if you get to the end of the game, MacReady turns up as a helicopter pilot, right? But not voiced by Kurt Russell because of licensing issues, but like he turns up. So he's made it. The other theory I like is the gasoline theory, which is at the end of the movie, MacReady gives Childs the JB bottle, but actually that's good gasoline, and he just drinks it and doesn't say anything.
He made a face when he handed him that bottle that I was like,
And there's another theory, I think, that one of them, I have to rewatch it, but there's no breath on one of them either.
I've heard that,
And there's another one, which is one of the characters has jewelry.
Palmer?
Did someone have a nose ring? Every time he came on screen, I was like, does he have a nose ring? That's very odd.
Was it Windows?
No, it wasn't Windows. Palmer. It was someone.
No, it's not Windows. It's Norris. I think it's Norris. It's Norris.
Yeah,
I think.
It's Norris. Oh, really?
Yeah. Sometimes I get a bit confused with it, but
there's so many names.
Yeah.
But
this
a lot
is,
of names.
But this is what's brilliant about it, and you know, you start. We're experimenting with our socials, right? And if we get something wrong, we get told straight away. Oh no, you made an error there.
The same over here.
Yeah. You will have fans passionately debating something which doesn't actually matter, but it does in the moment.
Yeah.
And I think that vocalization, that debate is a kind of energy in itself.
Yeah.
I don't think our documentary should attempt to give you anything definitive in terms of that.
That's why spoil it?
It's the point of the movie, right?
Yeah. But I want to look at some of the perspectives. I certainly want to explore. I mean, I've got a Google sheet with like 20 fan theories.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have a list of why I think Childs is the thing at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like that's so interesting because that's what's happening in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like no one knows what to believe or trust. And then it just flowed out of the screen. And now everyone's like, no, this happened. Yeah. No, this happened.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't think that's ever going to die.
I was to say, we're having a discussion earlier. You're like, when did you think Blair became the thing?
I know.
And I was like, oh, well.
It happened at this point. Yeah. There's so much conversation can happen. And you do get passionate about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I just think that that's like a testament to how good of a film it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That still all these years later, we're all picking it apart.
Yeah. I don't want anything to be definitive. I don't want to sort of, you know, I want to explore the topics of debate, of fierce debate.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily want to kind of go, well, this is the canon answer.
Yeah.
You know, who are we to say that?
Right.
You know, you kind of don't want to kind of spoil the mystery, but I feel like we can extend the mystery.
Well, exactly, and it keeps it open for, you know, changing your mind, which is really what film is all about. Because I, like you said, every time you watch it, you see something different.
You know, movies tend to, especially today, wrap themselves up in a pretty bow.
Yeah.
In this, you have no idea really what happened at the end of this. It could have gone a million different ways. And I think that's part of what still makes it feel so like.
This is making me want to watch it again.
Yeah.
You know what? We just watched it and now I want to go back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that might be also what you were saying, why it wasn't successful at the time, because people needed things wrapped up in a nice, you know,
at that
tiny
time
little
in the world,
package.
Yeah.
Do you think that the people involved, like the actors, do you think they ever, you know, realize the impact of the movie?
I don't think they did. I've only met one of them. I went to Atlanta and I did the interview with Keith David, who was like the real deal.
Love Keith David,
Super like charming and interesting.
I believe it,
But you know, I think, you know, it's funny when you, I'm being a bit generic here, but for actors, it's a job. They've got lines. They try and inhabit the roles.
Right.
Their perspective is generally quite skewed because they're thinking about character and where they fit in. And they're not necessarily observing all the nuances. And it's funny because I feel that all the documentaries for the thing came out 20, 30 years ago. I was talking to Mick Garris a couple of weeks ago and he was on set doing, he did the kind of EPK original documentary when the thing came out.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was telling me how despondent Carpenter was, like how destroyed he was. I feel that you need space. You need sometimes, this is the luxury we get as film critics, you know,
yeah,
audiences. We get to sort of see it. We have this space. We're not in it. So my answer is I don't think they knew. I don't necessarily think that Carpenter knew. I feel like that's the thing about these projects. There's kind of forces at work with the creativity that you don't, you know, not everything is cognizant.
Yeah.
You know, I'm absolutely certain he was deliberate with tone. I'm absolutely certain he was deliberate with performance and ambiguity.
Right.
But everything else is about what we're projecting onto it,
right,
in its space in history. And I mean, there's flourishes in this film. There's a moment which I noticed for the first time a few weeks ago, and I rewatched it, where nothing happens and just the camera is just showing empty parts of the base.
Yes,
which is terrifying.
Yeah, and I'm like, that is a directorial flourish.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is like, and it's a palate cleanser. Like, we're just, okay, what's happening? That just, there's no dialogue, just right? slow camera moves. And I'm like,
it's setting that tone yeah. so perfectly.
I miss it when directors kind of show you what they're about.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the quiet spaces. I think there's spaces in there without lots of music either. Like it's sort of, mm-hmm. it's really, it was like the peak Carpenter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what, same with experiencing their bond. Because mm-hmm. you don't have a lot of time before shit starts hitting the fan. Right. But you get little snippets. Small breaths mm-hmm. of like, well, two of them were like sharing a joint together.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Something. Lightness and Knowles with his
yes. yeah. When it's just yeah. like real quick, but you instantly, okay, you're like, oh, I can feel that there's a closeness here. But it, like yeah. you said, there was a little bit of space. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a filmmaker and I wouldn't know how to recreate that. But whatever yeah. they did, it, you know, I honestly think sometimes films just get a little bit lucky with casting and yeah. the films that I really love tend to be like, they have a little bit of magic in them.
Mm-hmm. You know,
the three that I think yeah. about are The Thing. Certainly mm-hmm. it's got just like right casting, right energy.
Yep. Yes.
You know, just everything. You got the right creature effects, special right effects, time.
Yep.
You know, yes. And the other two films that always come to mind for me are like Repo Man. Where okay. you've got the time, where there's certain films that kind of almost, they capture the essence of the culture that they're right. focused on.
Yeah.
So the thing almost is, you know, exists in a little glass sphere,
yeah.
which is mm-hmm. this was that time, this mm-hmm. feels real.
Right.
Repo Man, it's like LA in the 80s. Donnie Darko's another one.
That's one of your favorites.
Wow, that's just like a happy magic accident mm-hmm. of a movie where there's ambiguity yeah. as well. So it does happen, and you know it allows for further debate and investigation. You know, and it'll be interesting when your daughter's old enough to watch this.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you know, I feel like the three of you should be on this show.
I was going to say, we're all going to have to reconvene and be like, okay, what do you think?
What's your takeaway? Yeah. yeah. I love it.
Oh, I love that.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes.
This was just great.
It was really fun, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Anytime you want to chat, we're down. We're your biggest cheerleaders. We love Creator VC and all you do. Yes.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, it's a team. We're a great team. I'm probably the weakest link. I'm really enjoying just having conversations with fans of a movie that I really like, that I want to learn more about. Out of all the podcasts I've done so far, this has been the one that has made just stopped me in my tracks and made me think about that gender question. It didn't even really clock into my head, and it's something I absolutely want to, you know, explore further.
You should, yeah.
And I'd love to come back when we're further down the line, when we've got some
absolutely.
To show you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were lucky enough to sit in on the Misery Watch Party
with Dom and
Dom
and Andrew.
Yeah, but, oh, like, we love them.
We had like, the
we
best
would have party with Dom and Andrew.
Oh, I've got to tell him that. You know, The watch parties we do, it's not like we get massive audiences for them, but it's a very small committed group. And what I love about the chemistry with Dom and Andrew is that is who they're not performing. That's who they are.
I know, right? Yeah. They were the best.
There's something, I feel like the weird thing about horror is that when it's done right, you know, it should give you this warm kind of feeling. It should be something that brings people together, even though what you're seeing is horrifying or whatever. I like watching movies with my friends and get my friends together.
Yeah,
not because I want to be scared necessarily, but because I want that sort of, okay,
how do you
cool,
feel about it? Let's talk about it. Yeah. Everything you do at Creator VC, you can feel that heart.
Yeah,
genuinely.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I've been very lucky with who I work with. And I feel that we absolutely have a mission. But with each project we do, the stakes are up a little bit more because each time we do one, improve what we're about.
Right.
And it's like, as soon as we start production, we're at war. We're like, right. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, we'll do our best to sort of, you know, deliver on this.
Yes.
But each time I do one of these conversations, regardless of whether it's a show or whatever, I feel like I'm learning a bit more.
Yeah.
Last thing, please fill out that survey because it's really valuable to us.
Yeah, we're going to try to get as many people as possible to fill that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
This was really awesome.
Yeah, and we look forward to see what's coming next.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
All right. Take care.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.